Speak to us now, Lord, we pray. Speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We are ready for your word. Father, I pray now that you'll bless our time in your word, that everything that we do and say this day will be pleasing in your sight and bring glory and honor to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was around 2008, 2009 that I had an opportunity to apply for and was given a grant by the Calvin Institute on worship around the idea of identifying and celebrating 10 elements of New Testament worship. Those specific items in the New Testament that provide us opportunities to worship God. The impetus behind that grant actually came out of a mission trip I made to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. When I went to Addis Ababa, I went to a church on a Sunday, dirt floors, mismatched chairs and boards just nailed onto or sitting on cinder blocks for seats. But I found something very moving in that experience, because there were a group of about 15 to 20 people lined up on the side. They were wearing rags, had blankets around them, and they were worshiping and crying out to God. And I asked my interpreter what was going on, and he said, "We're about to have a baptism." Now, a baptism in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, is a little different than it is in the United States. First of all, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, is on the horn of the 1040 window, the most populated part of the world that is the least evangelized section of the world. In Addis Ababa, in Ethiopia in general, it is run by primarily the Ethiopian Orthodox Church and the Islamic community. It is a place where when you profess that you are a Christian, you are not lauded and celebrated for your public declaration. You may be persecuted and killed for being a Christian. And what's interesting is they do not persecute people who just say they're Christians. You actually have to make an outward profession of your inward faith. They don't consider you a real Christian until you announce it through the act of baptism. So I'm looking at these people and I'm saying to myself, they are crying out for the privilege and the opportunity to identify with Jesus in baptism. They had a tank back in the back that you had to climb up in and climb down into. The water was ice cold. But these people were rejoicing for the opportunity to identify with Jesus. And I thought about here, y'all. I thought about parents and grandparents who complain if the water is not lukewarm for their child to get baptized in. I think about people who see it as not a responsibility, but like they're doing God a favor when they get baptized. I think about people who say, "Well, I will get baptized, but I just got my hair done. You know, I would get baptized, but I don't want to mess up my makeup." You know, just those kind of superficial reasons, right? And so I began to look at worship throughout the New Testament. And what I came to conclude was that in a very real sense, we're missing the opportunities that God gives us to honor him and celebrate him and celebrate what he's doing in our lives. And one of those areas is the Lord's Supper. Those of you who were part of our church during that time period, if you remember, I actually spent an entire month on each of those 10 elements. So the entire year we spent looking at those elements of worship. And one of them was the Lord's Supper. We talked about on one Sunday the body of Christ and what that means. We talked on one Sunday about the blood of Jesus and what that means. We talked about on one Sunday when the text says, "Examine yourself." What does that mean? So you don't eat or drink unworthily unto yourself. And we talked on one Sunday about remembering what the Lord has done. So I want to park there today, because here's the truth of the matter. I think some of us take the Lord's Supper out of routine. Some of us take it out of tradition. Some of us take it without reflection. We take it casually. We take it carelessly. But the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11 that Jesus says to do this in remembrance of me. There's an intentionality that should be part of our worship around the Lord's Supper table. And so today I want you to think about not the Lord's Supper as something to take, but think about it as something that is meant to help transform you. Transform how you think, how you live, and how you witness. I want to talk today from the thought, how to participate in the Lord's Supper the right way. How to participate in the Lord's Supper the right way. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. For those of you who are watching today, wherever you are in the world, you can download our church app and find the outline there. Fill in the blank version for your tablet or smartphone at Good Hope, or you can go to goodhope.org and find an outline there. This letter is written to the church at Corinth. The church at Corinth was a group of very gifted people, but they were very divided. They were arguing with one another. They were divided into cliques. They were dishonoring to one another, and they were disobedient to God. The Apostle Paul looks at them and writes to them because he recognizes that they have turned the Lord's Supper into a social event. They've turned it into a selfish meal. They've turned it into a spiritually empty ritual. It was called by many who look back on this a love feast. And people would get together akin to a potluck. And they would come together and fellowship with one another. And they would celebrate the Lord's Supper together. But there were those who would come. They'd come with a lot and wouldn't share with those who only had a little. Or they would eat before the other people got there so they wouldn't have to share. There was just the wrong spirit surrounding what God had commanded them to do. And so Paul wants them to understand that when you come to the table is not about you. The table is not about other people. The table is really about Jesus. And when we come to the Lord's Supper every month, I want to remind you that when we come, it's not about you. It's not about the person next to you. It's about Jesus. Jesus wants us to do something and to have a certain mentality when we come to the Lord's Supper table. How to participate in the Lord's Supper the right way. Here's the first thing. Number one, you must remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You must remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" That word remember is an interesting word. It means more than just simple recollection or remembrance. It is a deliberate, active recalling. Let me see if I can make it plain. In a Jewish culture and historical context, the word meant to truly remember by going back in one's mind and recapturing as much as possible the reality and significance of the event that you have experienced, and to do that as much as you possibly can. In other words, it wasn't just a casual, "it crossed my mind." He says, when you come to this Lord's Supper table, I need you to sit in it. I need you to meditate upon it. I need you to basically think about where you were when God found you and how far God has brought you. To see the Lord's Supper as a high worship moment in thanking God for all that the Lord has done, is doing, and will do in your life. Don't just think about passing the juice and the cracker. He said, no, I need you to think about what the meaning is behind those elements. See, there was a time, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 3, when sacrifices were made to remind people of their sins. When we come to the Lord's Supper table, we're not coming to be reminded of our sins as much as we are coming to be reminded of his sacrifice. We can remember our sins, but please don't stop there. Remember the sacrifice that he made on your behalf to take your sins away. See, the people of Corinth had transformed the Lord's Supper into a time of feasting and fellowshipping, and they missed the fact that it was intended to be a time of faith building. The Lord says, do this and remember me. Here's what's interesting. In our prayers, we want the Lord to remember us. We even wrote a song about it. Want to hear it? Here it goes. Do Lord, Lord, remember me. When I'm sick and I can't get well, Lord, remember me. When I'm down and I can't come in, Lord, remember me. But when we come to the Lord's Supper, it's not there for the Lord to remember us. It's there for us to remember him. Look at Luke 22, verse 19. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. Let's read it together. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Y'all, we set reminders for a lot of things. We set reminders for appointments, for meetings, for deadlines, things that we want to make sure we don't miss. We set reminders and we set alarms. And I'm submitting to you that we need to set a reminder about what the Lord's Supper really means. Stories told of a man who was on his deathbed. Before he died, he gave everyone in his family who was around the bed a picture of him. He gave him a picture of him and he said, I'm giving you this picture because every time you look at this picture, I want you to remember. I want you to remember me. My brothers and sisters, I was thinking just the other day, I came across a picture of my maternal grandfather, John Peoples. And John Peoples is one of my favorite men in the world. Matter of fact, my youngest son, Brandon, has his name as his middle name. And I gave him that name because when I think about my own life, my grandfather, who had an eighth grade education, didn't know anything about autism spectrum disorder, didn't know I was on the spectrum or anything. He just loved me unconditionally. And I can remember him defending me when my mother would say stuff like, boy, you need to get a personality. Leave that boy alone. He ain't bothering nobody. Come here. And always was there. And when I saw that picture, it just reminded me of the unconditional love that that man had for me and how much I stand today because of that unconditional love. When we come to the Lord's Supper, it's a picture of what Jesus has done for us. And every time we come to the table, we should be reminded. I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, if you are worrying more about what you're wearing when it's Communion Sunday than what the Lord has done for you, you got the wrong message. Jesus gives us a reminder. And so here's what he basically says. Don't rush through communion. Think about my suffering. Think about my sacrifice. Think about my substitution. Here's the second thing, though, and it's right here in the text. Number two, you must recognize the significance of the new covenant. The significance of the new covenant. Verse 25, in the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This cup represents the new covenant in my blood. The new covenant points to a new relationship with God. not based on the law, but based on God's grace. In the Old Testament, that sacrifice had to be repeated over and over again. But in the New Testament, the sacrifice of Christ didn't cover our sins. It washed our sins away. And that's because of the efficacy of the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, his blood knew no sin because he had a heavenly mother, but he had an earthly father. The biologists tell us that sin is transmitted in the blood. That's what we know theologically is translated in the blood. That's why the Bible says that a requirement for the birth of Jesus was an immaculate conception. You say, why you mean, what do you mean immaculate conception? See, sin is in the blood. That's why every child born from the seed of Adam was born in sin, shaped in iniquity. That's why we never have to teach a child how to do wrong. They are born doing wrong. We have to teach them how to do right. Don't wonder where they got it from. Just look in the mirror and identify where they got it from. Because sometimes they just do it in public what's already in your mind and spirit in private. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right about it. And the Bible says the virgin birth was a necessity. Mary was overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, so there would be no human blood connected with the birth of Jesus, because he knew Jesus couldn't have sin in his blood. Matter of fact, God was so committed to Jesus being sinless that he told Joseph, even after she was conceived by the Holy Spirit, you can't know her in an intimate way until after the baby's born, because I don't want your sin in the birth canal. And so here is the Lord saying, this is the new covenant, my blood. When you come, recognize that you're not under the law anymore. You're under grace because of my blood. Some of you are old enough to remember a time before click on digital signatures were allowed and in fashion using computers. You had to sign stuff in person. Some of y'all remember those things of the past, notaries and the like, right? And you could never sign an official document in pencil, because pencil could be erased, pencil could be altered. You always had to sign using ink. Well, I want you to know, when Jesus signed the covenant for us, his new covenant was not signed with ink, it was signed by his blood. So I want to encourage somebody today, stop living like you're under condemnation. Walk in the freedom of the grace God has given you. But don't stop there if you're going to participate in the Lord's Supper the right way. Number three, you need to realize as you're participating in the Lord's Supper, you are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we partake in the Lord's Supper each month, you are proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread, excuse me, and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. You proclaim the Lord's death. That's a word that some have translated to preach, to declare publicly, to announce boldly. Communion is not just inward, it's outward. Every time we take the Lord's Supper, we are preaching a silent sermon. No microphone is needed. No stage or platform is required. No pulpit needs to be erected. But every time you take the Lord's Supper, here's the sermon that you preach. He died, he saves, he is Lord, and he lives again. That's why when you take the Lord's Supper, you don't just take it, you are to live it. Our lives are to be an ocular demonstration of the change that Jesus has brought forth in our lives. He says, it's a sermon, y'all. It's a sermon when you remember what the Lord has done. Let me get to the last thing and then I'm going to take my seat. Number four, you must live believing Jesus Christ is coming back. You must live believing Jesus Christ is coming back. Now, I want you to do me a favor. You see, the blanks are Jesus Christ and coming back. But if you could, just scratch through that word live and then just put in your own writing, celebrate the Lord's Supper. In other words, you must celebrate the Lord's Supper believing Jesus Christ is coming back again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Paul says when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we need to remember he's coming back again. The Lord's Supper is a place where two things take place, worship and witness. Worship takes place because we honor him with our lives, remembering what he has done for us, being reminded of what he expects from us, and we move not just through worship, but to witness to those who need him and to those who know him. What we're saying is, he's coming back. He's real. That this is not the end of the story. Look at John 14:3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Look at Titus 2:13. Let's read it together. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I've had a unique life in that I grew up, I was born in New York City, Brooklyn, New York. Grew up on the Lower East Side of Manhattan, 465 East 10th Street, apartment 13H in the Jacob Riis Housing Projects. But I also spent some time on the farm in middle school and high school. My father bought 10 acres of land. And so we did some farming down there, and chickens and geese and cows and horses and pigs and all that stuff. And one of the big differences between living in the city and living in a rural community is, in a rural community, I didn't have to worry about looking both ways before I crossed the street, because I could hear cars coming down the road, right? And you just went on the other side of the road and went back on the other side of the road or stayed on your side of the road if you even went down the road, right? But in the city, one of the lessons you learn really quick as a child is look both ways. Look to the left, look to the right, even if it's a one-way street, look both ways. And now with the advent of bicycle lanes in cities, you got to look both ways for cars and bicycles. Here's what I came to understand. You look both ways because you understood that you were crossing a street where people could come in either direction. Let me bring it to our discussion today. In the communion experience, God says you got to look both ways. Don't just look inward, look outward. Don't just look downward, you got to look upward. What do you mean, Pastor? See, when you come to the Lord's Supper table, you look backward into yesterday to see the cross. You got to look present today to see your faith and your worship. And you got to look in your future to your tomorrow to look for his return. You got to look both ways when you come to the Lord's Supper table. This is not just juice and crackers and some spooky stuff that we, no, this is an act of worship to remind us that he died on the cross for us. He's helping us become who we need to be right now, and he's coming back for us in our tomorrow. Matter of fact, can I submit something to you? If there's any place that you can shout in church, if there's any place you need to be rejoicing, y'all waiting on a song to move you, and you waiting on a sermon to excite you, when you really ought to be moved by what God has already done for you. I'm trying to help somebody in here today that you see what God has done, that it is a reminder every time you come to the table of the faithfulness of God
in your life. So when you come to the table, don't just take the bread. Remember the body that was given for you. When you take the cup, don't just take the cup. Remember the blood that was shed for you. Don't just go through the motion. Remember his mission and his ministry. Don't just look backward. Proclaim it outward. Don't just sit at the table. Learn how to surrender at the table. Don't just participate externally. Engage God internally, because at the table, it's not about tradition. It's about transformation. It's not about ritual. It's about redemption. It's not about routine. It's about a relationship. And every time you take it, you are declaring. You are making a declaration. What am I declaring, Pastor? When you come to the communion table, you're declaring he died for me. He was buried for me. And he got up for me. You're declaring my sins have been forgiven. My debt has been canceled. My future is secured. You're declaring I'm not who I used to be. I'm not what I've been through. And I belong to him. You're declaring he's not dead, he's alive, because he lives inside of me. And this is not the end of the story, it's just part of the story. And when you come to the table, come remembering, come repenting, come rejoicing, and come ready. Because one day, we won't just remember him, one day we'll see him. We won't just proclaim him. One day we'll be with him. We won't just take communion. One day we'll sit at the marriage supper at the Lamb. And as we prepare our hearts, let the words of the old hymn ring true in our spirits. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When we come to this table, we should come singing, Jesus paid it all, and all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed me white as snow. So when you come, don't just sing it. Believe it. Don't just hear it. Receive it. Don't just observe it. Own it. Because every time you take it, you're saying he died for me. He saved me. He changed me. And he's coming back for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you and thank you today. I pray now that as we come today, we can see this as a high holy day, a holy day of worship, more than just what we say, that it becomes a lifestyle moment for us. God, we ask you to have your way. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, I don't have a house phone anymore. All I have is my cell phone. And my cell phone, probably like many of you, stays on all the time. And every now and then, my cell phone will start acting a little wonky. Starts acting a little kooky. And as it's doing that, I check the charge and I see it's charged sufficiently. And then I remember I've got to let my phone rest every now and then. I've got to turn it off. And when I turn it off, I allow it to reset. Turn it back on, working fine. And my brothers and sisters, here's what I need you to know. When we come to the Lord's Supper, this is a moment that God gives us to experience spiritual reset. To remind you of what the Lord has done for you.
and remind you of how far the Lord has brought you. It's an opportunity to reset, to stop focusing on how big your problems are, and in this moment, start focusing on how big your God is. It's a moment of reset, to stop focusing on what's going on around me and focusing on the one who lives inside of me. Instead of focusing on the pain and problems of the world, I focus on his purpose for my life and living. But for somebody today, here's what I need you to know. You can't remember him until you belong to him. Today, I want to give you an opportunity to say yes to God, to receive him as your Savior and Lord. Today, you can be forgiven. Today, you can enter into a covenantal relationship with Jesus Christ. So I want to ask everybody who can, everybody who will, to stand wherever you are. And as Minister Taylor leads us in our invitational song, I want to give somebody an opportunity today to say yes. You may have been coming to church for years and just going through the motions, and you're like, it's Communion Sunday, and people treat it as a kind of spooky time. Treat it as a mystical time, when it's really a time that's set aside. And Jesus says, as often as you do it in remembrance of me. How often should we do it? He said, it doesn't matter how often, just as often as you do it, do so in remembrance of me. And so I want to invite you to come today, upstairs or down. For those of you who are watching, there's a QR code on the screen, and it will quick link you to a number of choices. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can do that. If you're watching today and you want to become part of our church family, wherever you are in the world, we welcome you to join us and become part of iHope Church. That's Internet Hope. We'd love to minister to you in an intentional way on that digital platform as well. Wherever you are, don't stop, don't tarry, don't dialogue or debate. Say yes to God today. If you sense his Spirit leading you, you sense the Spirit calling you, come on and come. We're not a perfect church. We're an imperfect people serving a perfect God, and we welcome you to join us on the journey. So come on and come right now. Come on and come.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you, oh my sister. He will give you brand new life abundantly.
Christ to you. Come on, church.
We offer Christ to you, oh my brother. We offer Christ to you,
oh my sister.
Oh my sister.
What will he do?
He will give you brand new life.
Down your row and ask your neighbor and say, are you saved? Are you saved? Get an answer. They might be dressed up and got a badge on, but that don't mean they saved. Ask them, are you saved? Are you saved? Get an answer. And if they say no,
Tell them, I can't walk with you. I can't walk for you, but I can walk with you. Now ask them another question. Do you have a church home? Come on, look at them. Do you have a church home? Do you have a pastor? And if they say no, come on, bring them down. 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 This is their moment. This is their time. Pastor, very seriously, that's right. That's what I'm talking about. Bring them down. That's right. That's right. Bring them down. Bring them down. That's right. That's right. Come on, church. Y'all low on this celebration. That's right. That's right. Thank you for coming, my brother. Very seriously, Pastor shared with us about what communion is. And for some reason, we've kind of gotten away. That's right. Come on, celebrate. I talk, you celebrate. Pastor's first point to us was we must remember the sacrifice. What a parent said that talk to your children and tell them, you better remember what I do for you. What a parent said, mothers and fathers who, come on, celebrate them as they come. That's right, bring them down, bring them down. Grab their hand aggressively and bring them down. Come on, we're going to church. We're going to get salvation. But the parents know nothing more disrespectful than your child forgetting the sacrifices that you've made. Nothing more disrespectful, the hours you've worked on your job, the financial sacrifices that you've given that they might have the life that they live. And then they look at you with any moment, any drop of disrespect. And since this is this type of congregation, I know y'all did this number just like this. Some of y'all are pros at that. And Jesus is saying, listen, just like you want your children to remember your sacrifices, I want my children to remember my sacrifice. I died for you. I bled for you. I was beaten for you. And though you may be separated from it because you drive what you drive, you live in what you live in, the sacrifice is still potent. The blood is still working. His sacrifice is still making ways for people at this moment. And so maybe you've been doing church so long and you just know first Sunday is that's what we do this. Well, let's remember his sacrifice today. And that sacrifice is calling you back to a relationship with him. So if you're here today, others have come and they've made space for you. Come on and thank God for that sacrifice, all right? Come on, we offer Christ to you.
Offer Christ to you.
Oh, my brother.
We offer Christ to you.
Oh, my sister. Church, let's thank God for the harvest. Heaven rejoices over one. What we gonna do on earth? We are so glad that God led you this way. And watch this. You didn't have to make this walk alone. Everybody that's standing behind you is walking with you. We're walking with you as you do this life. And here's the news flash. We do life together. Did you hear what I said? I said, we do life together. We cry together. We mourn together. We celebrate together. We resolve our issues together. We're not a perfect church, but we are doing it together. And so we want to pray God's blessings on your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for these who have become a part of our family. Help us to be good stewards over them, with them, as we lead them to a closer walk with thee. Father, I pray that the warfare that's on its way won't have to be dealt with alone, because we're going to stand with them. Father, they've made a great decision today. And Father, let nothing and nobody tell them anything different. Father, we thank you, God, for the eternal life. And we thank you for abundant life that you give in this moment. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And we give you glory, honor, and praise. Let every heart and believer say amen. Amen. Come on, celebrate again. You're going to follow our Christian workers. Follow those signs that say, follow me, follow me, follow me. And they're going to give you more information about our church. Anybody glad God still saves? Anybody glad that God still delivers? And God still sets free? Amen. Can we celebrate the greatest pastor in the world? Hold on, y'all. That's my pastor. That's our pastor. I said, can we celebrate the greatest pastor in the world? Amen. What a mighty word on today that we've heard from our senior pastor, and we pray that you will keep it and that you will share it, but more importantly, that you would live by it. Amen. It's offering time. It's offering time in the Lord's house. Amen. There are several ways you can give at our church. And please know that your giving towards this ministry helps us to do ministry on an everyday basis. We are committed to living out our faith every day. And we want to make certain that we are taking hope to the world as far as the Lord will allow us to. And so your gifts to this church through this ministry helps us to do that by way of food pantry, by way of the people we serve every week through our outreach programs. This is the impact of our gift. And so please follow the leading of the screen. We still ain't got EBT yet, but we're working on it. We're working on it. We're working. Somebody said cryptocurrency. We're working on it. We're working on it. We're working on it. Amen. Because it's really true that you can beat God's giving. No matter how you try, come on, say it. You can be God given. You ain't gonna outgive them. No matter how
you try.
You try.
Just as sure as you are living and the Lord is in heaven
on high,
the more you give,
the more. I'm a living witness this morning.
Just keep on giving.
Because it's really true.
It's really true.
That you
that
can.
You
oh, can. God,
God-giving.
No matter how,
you try.
Father, bless gift and giver, seed and soil in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us prepare our hearts to receive and partake in the Lord's Supper. Let us approach the table of the Lord Jesus Christ with reverence and respect for his sacrifice for us. If you do not have your sacrament, if you would raise your hand, deacons are passing those out at this moment. They're going to come to you. Church, let's stand together.
I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood. I know it was the blood for me.
Keep those hands raised if you need those.
One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood for me.
Was my Savior.
It was my Savior's blood.
Yes, it was.
It was my Savior's blood. It was my Savior's blood for me. One day when I was lost, he died upon the cross.
Amen. Everybody been served.
It was my Savior's blood for me.
Father in heaven, we bless you and we thank you for this day. Thank you that you've allowed us to come to this table, that we might be able to remember your sacrifice through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, you gave your Son, he gave us life, and then the Holy Spirit gives us the ability to receive that life in liberty. And so, Father, help us to cleanse ourselves in this moment. Forgive us of any sin that will preclude us from taking this moment and fellowshipping with you, Father. We repent before you in this moment, and we ask, Father, that you keep us reverent as we continue to celebrate the Holy Communion. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On the night that the Lord Jesus was